I want you to take your Bible tonight and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I don't know how far I'll get in this message. I don't want to wear you out. I know I've given you a lot of information, but I do want to challenge us tonight from God's Word. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. If you could, also put your finger in Acts 18. The book of Acts, chapter number 18. If you'll put your bookmarker in Acts 18 and then open up to 1 Corinthians 2, that'll be a blessing. First Corinthians 2. The Apostle Paul here started this church. Okay, he started it by leading people to Christ and baptizing them. In fact, in Acts 18:11, it says he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the Word of God among them. The Apostle Paul was in the city of Corinth for a year and a half, leading people to Christ, baptizing them, forming that into a church. Well, as Paul writes this letter back to the Corinthians, he is kind of rehearsing and he's recounting his time with them, when he was with them. He's looking back to that time period when he started this church, that year and a half he was with them. And he's reminding them of his ministry there and what it entailed. Look with me at 1 Corinthians 2, verse 1. Is it still warm in here, by the way? How many of you are warm? How many of you are just right? How many of you are cold? Nobody's cold. That's good. Okay. I think Brother Tommy might have gone back to... Yeah. Hey, man. If they want it cold, let's bring it down, baby. All right. No, we won't freeze you out. We won't freeze you out. All right. But no, look at 1 Corinthians 2:1. Notice how Paul recounts his ministry here. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Man, what a blueprint for us in 2006. The greatest, the Apostle Paul, when you talk about Paul, you know, in my opinion, you're talking about the greatest soul winner, preacher, theologian, church planter, and missionary of this church age. And here he delineates his philosophy and his approach to ministry. And the approach is simple and it's uncomplicated, but yet it was so powerful, Brother Larry, it was so effective. I mean, very simple, but yet so powerful, so effective. Paul went to Corinth, and man, he was reaching people there with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And people's lives were being changed by the gospel of Christ. Do we want to see God use us to reach Daytona with the gospel? Do we want to see lives changed by the power of the gospel? Well, you know, the Apostle Paul here, I noticed as I was reading this, and man, I read this a lot before it hit me. There are three different times in verses 1 through 5 where he says specifically that he did something. Three times he says specifically that he had done something. And I thought, man, if we could take those three phrases where he says, this is what I did, if we could apply those to our church, man, what a difference it would make. I'm going to give it to you quickly, okay? Number one, and I'm using PowerPoint, which I don't usually do on Sunday night, but I want you to see the three key phrases. Number one, the first key phrase is, I came to you. I want you to look at verse 1. And I, brethren, everybody say it with me, when I came to you. Say that again, when I came to you. Folks, this is where it starts. Paul could not reach anybody in Corinth sitting in Antioch. He had to go where they were. And in Acts 18, he said, I will go. He said, I will go. Folks, listen, we are said to be Christ ambassadors in this world. 2 Corinthians 5:18 and through 20. We're Christ's ambassadors. An ambassador doesn't sit at home. He goes into another foreign country on behalf of another. An ambassador does not wait for people to come to him. An ambassador goes. Jesus Christ is the head of our church. He's the head of the church. Jesus Christ is the head, but he still has a body on this earth. Not a physical fleshly body, but Jesus has a spiritual body on this earth. Who is his spiritual body? We are his body. As a body, remember, we've been made one with Christ. We've been baptized by the Spirit into his body. And he's the head, and we're his body that is here on this earth right now working. You see, we have a commission from our head, and that commission is go. Look up here at the screen. I'm going to throw a few verses up. He said unto them, what? Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel. Look at the next one. Acts 5:20, the apostles, God miraculously gets them out of prison. And they come out of prison. What's the angel say? What's the very first word the angel says? Go. Go, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. Look at the next one. In Acts chapter 8, God wanted to reach that Ethiopian man with the gospel. So what did he do? The Spirit said unto Philip, go. Go near and join thyself to this chariot. Look at the next verse we have up here. It says in Acts 16, after Paul had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. We have a commission to go. Folks, listen. We are not to just sit around and wait for people to come to us. The Bible says in Acts 5:28 that the apostles filled Jerusalem with their doctrine. They went to where the people were. Man, this is my burden. Listen, I cannot stress enough the importance of you as a church going out there to your workplace and your neighborhoods and the place where you do business. I can't stress enough the importance of you going and being a witness, a testimony, and inviting people to church. Let me throw a couple of charts up here, okay? If this is a chart, how people heard about our church. Tommy, this goes back how far? 4 or 5 years? 4 years? In the last 4 years, these are actually people who joined our church. They came and ended up joining. How'd they hear about it? Okay, the number one light blue block there is friend. Friend. 38% said a friend invited me. Okay, but then you add in the block next to it, family. 11%. Now we're up to 49%. It was a personal invitation. Then you look over at the Christian school, you know, and that's another, I guess, what is that? I'm not sure which is. Well, I think it's the 10% one, Tommy? Yeah, 10%. Then you throw that in there now, you know, because the Christian school, again, that's relationships. We form relationships with them and invite them to church and they come. Now we're up to, help me with my math here, 49, 59. Almost 60% of the people who came to our church in the last 4 years said, I came because somebody invited me. Then, you know, if you look at the next one here, next chart, 2005, people who actually joined, those 87 families that joined, how'd they hear about our church? 40% a friend, 5% a family. You look over here, the school, again, 6% was the school. You know, so again, we're back up over 50%. Then you look at, walk through Bethlehem, 14%, and a lot of that is personal invitation. You invited somebody to come through walk through Bethlehem. So really, you could almost throw that in there, because most of the people who come, you invited them. So you see what I'm talking about. That Paul said, you know what, brethren, when I came to you, Paul had to go to Corinth if he was going to reach those people. He had to go. And my point is very simple, but I want you to get it, that if we're going to reach Daytona Beach, we're not going to do it by sitting around and patting each other on the back. Okay? If we're going to reach Daytona Beach, it's going to take us taking the gospel to them. It's going to take us going to them. Not just saying, oh, well, there's our sign, y'all come. We got to think out of the box. Man, I love the new Spanish class. That's going great, isn't it? You know, that's a great thing. Monday night, we got a life group that meets on Monday night. Man, I want to see life groups. I want to see some of you catch a vision and say, I could start a life group in the clubhouse in my subdivision. I could start a life group at the, they got a, you know, just kind of a general party room at my condo. Man, I could start a life group right there. Man, people in the condo could come. I could start a life group, you know, at a restaurant. I can start a life group in my home. We've got to go, we got to take the church to the city. You know, we've got to get out of the mentality that all church work has to take place on this property. Okay, we've got to get out of that mentality. The apostles, man, they didn't have a church building. They were just filling Jerusalem. They went out, you know, to Jerusalem and was filling it with their doctrine. They were going out where the people were. And we got to, you know, sometimes it's like, I have a burden to start a support ministry. Where do you want to do it? I want to do it on the church property, you know, and I want to start an outreach ministry. Where? From the church property. And I want to have a life group. Where? On the church property. Well, I understand, but we've got to get out of the mentality that everything ministry related has to happen on church property. Many times, it's more effective if it's off church property because people are more apt to come. So, you know, you need to kind of think out of the box as we think about this thing of going, and he said, I came to you. The second key phrase is this. He said, look at verse 2. For I determined. First he said, I came. Secondly, he said, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. So I've got up here, what was the key phrase? He said, I determined. When I came to you, I determined to know Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He said, you know what? His philosophy was very simple. I'm going to lift up and I'm going to exalt Christ and I'm going to exalt His finished work. And that's exactly what he did. If you guys, and I don't have a lot of time. I wanted to spend a lot of time and go back to Acts 18 a lot. But just turn back there real quickly. We'll just look at a couple things. You know, for time's sake, I'm not going to, but it would be effective if you could look back at what he did in Corinth in Acts 18. Look at Acts 18:5. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the Spirit, and he testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. Folks, listen. Paul wasn't flashy. Okay? He wasn't flashy. He wasn't worldly wise. It sure wasn't entertaining, but it was straightforward, and it was convicting. And some of the people in Corinth responded in repentance. If you look at Acts 18, it says there in verse 8, And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. But you know what? They didn't all believe. Some of the folks just got perturbed. Some of the people that heard the gospel got perturbed. They got mad. Verse 6, it says in Acts 18:6, And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, Paul shook his raiment, and he said unto them, Your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean from henceforth. I will go into the Gentiles. And as we read this, evidently Paul was in some physical danger because Jesus appeared to Paul in this Corinth ministry, and look what happens, okay? Look at verse 9. In Acts 18, verse 9. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by vision, Be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. You know what he basically says to Paul? Keep on preaching, brother. Notice he did not say, Paul, man, you need to lighten up. Man, you're too confrontational. You need to be a little more entertaining. You're in Corinth, man. It's the entertainment capital of the world. You got to get niftier. You got to couch the message of the gospel with more palatable words and methods. No, Jesus Christ appeared and he said, man, I'm with you. He said, look, don't be afraid. Just keep speaking about me. And in verse 11, in Acts 18:11, it says he continued there a year and 6 months teaching the word of God among them. What was important to Paul was not how smart he looked to the Greek intellectuals. It wasn't important to him how cool and snazzy he looked to the entertainment-driven mobs. What was important to him was verse 4 of 1 Corinthians. If you go back there, 1 Corinthians 2:4. Here's what was important to Paul. 1 Corinthians 2:4. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but here's what was important to him. His preaching was in demonstration of two things. What? The Spirit and of power. Power of God. I'm afraid there's a lot of fleshly activity going on in churches today under the guise of ministry and evangelism. And today, Christianity has been commercialized in America, and it breaks my heart. And the predominant question in many church leaders' minds is, well, what's going to bring in the crowds and make money? You know, what's going to appeal to the sensual, fleshly side of people? But let me remind you, our mission is to proclaim the cross of Jesus Christ without compromise, in demonstration of the Spirit and of God's power, in our daily lives as well as behind this pulpit. And let's not fool ourselves. The cross many times will be an offense. The Bible talks about the offense of the cross in Galatians 5:11. But here's what's neat. Even though you preach the gospel and sometimes it offends people, chapter 1, 1 Corinthians 1:18, look at it. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it's the what? Woo! The gospel, the cross, many times will be an offense, but it contains the power of God to change lives. And that's what we want to do in 2006. Is you know, these key phrases, I came to you. We've got to take the gospel to them. And then number two, he said, you know, that I determined that I was just going to exalt Christ. And then number three, the last thing. Okay, it's found here in verse 3. Look at it. This is the third thing that he specifically said he did. And I was, what's the next two words? With you. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. That to me is so precious. There were some very intense moments where Paul's life was threatened in this city. But verse 3 is so precious. I was with you. Paul was real. Paul was transparent. He didn't try to gloss it over. They saw Paul in some of his most vulnerable moments. I was with you. And he's honest with them. Man, he said, you saw me. It was weakness and fear and trembling. In other words, man, he's just saying, look, I was real. I didn't try to hide it. I didn't try to act like Superman. Look, you saw me the way I was. Yes, he evangelized. But then the Bible says he was with them for a year and a half back in Acts 18. He was with them. He was involved in their lives. Folks, that's discipleship, sharing life with life. And that's what it takes. Yes, we need to win people to Christ, but then we have to connect with them on a personal level. You say, how? I was with you. Just being with people. You say, what do you mean? How can we connect with people? How can we connect with new members? How can we connect with guests that come in? It's not complicated. Be with them. Want to sit with me in church? Want to go out after church and get some ice cream or a Krispy Kreme donut? Those of you that were in church this morning know what that means. It's just called looking at a visitor and saying, you know, man, I'm glad you came today. And he sat with you in church. And then you say, hey, man, you want to get a cup of coffee together some morning this week before work? Hey, can we pray together about that? Hey, you want to come over today after lunch? I mean, after church and eat some lunch with us? See, I'm talking about doing this with new people, not just our clique. You can get with your clique anytime. I'm talking about doing this with new people. When people come to our church and they come to our life group, if they come and they never sense that we care. They just kind of sense we're playing church. That they kind of sense that it's just all a spiritual facade. Folks, they're not going to be able to get out the back door quick enough. They want to know that we care. They want to know we're real. Paul said, I was with you. Man, I was right there with you. I was right there with you. I hung out with you. I was with you in fear and trembling. I was with you. Man, I was with you in the good times. I was with you in the bad times. I was with you in the victories. I was with you through the difficult times. God wants us to share in each other's struggles. God wants us to be connected in those life groups, and He wants us to share with each other. This verse is so precious to me. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, what should you do? Restore such a one. In a spirit of what? Meekness. Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. And it says, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. That's exactly what it's all about right there. We can sum up these three key phrases in 1 Corinthians 2, 1 through 5, this way, up on the screen. Number one, go to where people are and reach out to them. He said, I came to you. How do we sum that up? Man, we got to go where the people are. We got to reach out to people in this community. I'm telling you, you saw the chart, personal invitation. Personal invitation. Inviting your family members, inviting your friends, inviting your neighbors, inviting your coworkers. Did you know that most people, they did a survey, most people said they would go to church if somebody would invite them. People that don't go anywhere said they would go if somebody would invite them. We got to go where they are. Number two, to sum up that second phrase, we exalt and we proclaim Christ. Man, we got to be a church that's all about Jesus. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Number three, when He said, I was with you, I kind of summarize that by saying we got to truly love the people that God sends to us. And if we do these three things, what an awesome 2006 we can expect. Amen. Let's go to God in prayer tonight. Father, we come before you now through the blood of Jesus, and we pray.